begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father, we bow before you, so honored that we can come to you, come in your presence. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. May this time be redeemed, Lord. The time in communication with you is the most valuable that there is. There isn't anything better than being close to you and in touch with you and hearing from you and articulating our wants and our needs, not because you don't know, you know them all, but because when we do, you know what's in our heart and where our mind is. And we just want more of you, Lord. We want to honor you. We want to please you this morning. We want to please you with this conference. We want to please you with our lives, Lord. So help us now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, I wanted to share a nice little story in the Bible about a wedding. I know many of you are kind of concerned with travel or visas and all the difficulties in life. And it tends really often to take away from the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of what our Lord did, what he's promised to do. So I chose this little parable because this is one of the last parables that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he was crucified. From the time this parable was given until his crucifixion is probably a day, maybe 2 days at the most. Now, if you were Jesus and you were your disciples, would you choose the important things to tell them when you had a day left, or would you just be talking about the weather and about COVID and other things like that? You'd be talking about what's really important. This is called the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And so I want to just begin with a short song. Because the thrust of this parable is to watch and be ready for Jesus' second return. We just celebrated once again his first return a week or two ago, but the second return is at any point. I don't know if anybody would disagree with that, but I really think he's really close, and we need to be ready. He asked the disciples to be ready 2,000 years ago. If they were to be ready 2,000 years ago, how much closer are we today? So I wanted to sing just a few words here. If you've got one of these sheets here, I printed up a little thing because it's got the words of the song on it. We'll start with half of it and end with another half of it. Then, since you may not understand anything I say, you can read this later and maybe you'll get a little bit out of it. But let's sing this song together. Jesus is coming soon, even so come.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear, listen now, half a world. Jesus is coming soon. Go back to sin, we're going to sing. Let the nation shout a little thing. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus,
song at the end of the prayer. So we will go to prayer in just a minute, and then when it's time to end the prayer, I'll finish the song, okay? How many of you like weddings? So Kurt and Kendall have a wedding coming up. So I have a question for you, Kurt. Is your daughter Abby really excited about getting married to Grant?
Very thrilled, yeah.
How many of you brides were excited to see the groom on your wedding day? Well, one. That's good. Or two. Good. Three. And why were you excited? Well, you were looking forward to wedded bliss. My question is, for how long? 50 years? Maybe 75? But how excited are you about looking forward to being with our bridegroom, Jesus Christ? I think we tend to lose that excitement when we get all bogged down with details and COVID and all that other junk which Satan can throw at us to dilute our excitement. But think of this picture. If you were not looking forward to your groom as a bride, and you wanted to tell other people about your groom, how excited would they get? I don't think you would want that groom, would you? So as you are going about in spreading the gospel and standing for the Lord, how excited are you about the good news of the gospel? How excited are the people that hear your good news? Are you really excited about it? I believe the rapture of the church is the next thing that's going to happen with Jesus' second coming. And the whole Olivet Discourse, the discourse that he gave to his disciples on the last day or two that he was on earth, is filled with watching and be ready. Watching and be ready for something you don't know when it's coming. So I really believe the next thing to come is the rapture of the church. So that means absent from the body, present with the Lord. So how excited are you about taking your last breath?
I
think everybody wants to take their last breath. It's just the point of getting to the last breath. It's unquestionable, right? Nobody wants pain and that kind of thing. But if we think about the 10 virgins, you look at that story and you go, oh, I understand that, I guess. But there was Jesus is such a glorious teacher that when you start to look at his teachings, it just oozes out everywhere with all kinds of related things, and there's nothing lost. It's just all good. So we read there in Matthew chapter 25, first 13 verses. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. That's the crux of the parable almost already, in that you've got 10, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And as you look through this parable, they were all pretty much identical with the one exception of the extra oil. The foolish ones had no extra oil. So we want to keep that in mind as we look through this parable, because this has eternal consequences to it. This is just not, I forgot the bread or something or other. This is extra oil. That's the difference between eternal life and eternal death. So anything that's different between eternal life and eternal death, I think that would be very, 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 very important to us all, would it not? So we read on. But while the bridegroom was delayed, Jesus is giving them a clue. The disciples all thought that he was going to establish the kingdom right away, wasn't he? But here he's giving them a clue. There's going to be a delay. Maybe. But we're to be ready. We don't know. But we know he's already had a 2,000-year delay, approximately. And some people say, well, since he's delayed so long, he's never going to come. No, that's not what the scripture says. But he says, while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Now, I like that very much, because I have concerns about being constantly ready and constantly in prayer. Because, when I drive, I need to watch the road. At night, I need to get rest. How can I be constantly ready if I'm doing all these other things? Well, I think life goes on in watching and waiting. We're to watch and to wait, but we need to do our jobs. We need to do what needs to be done. Don't we? We can't just pull up and seclude ourselves from everything, saying, well, I've got to be watching and be ready. Yeah, watch and be ready, but you still have to live in this world. So they slumbered and slept. There's nothing wrong with that. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So notice this. Even the foolish ones arose as they should have, and they trimmed their lamps. Everything looks good for everybody so far, right? And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Now, I don't want to spiritualize parables too much because you can get in all kinds of trouble, but I do think the Bible is very clear that oil is indicative of the power of the Holy Spirit, is it not? And I see that in this parable because the extra oil is really filled with the Holy Spirit, in my opinion, or at least more Holy Spirit than if you don't have any oil. If you have the Holy Spirit, you certainly have more power and more success than if you have no Holy Spirit. Verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. How many of you in the last year felt your lamps were going out? You got about the third lockdown or the 14th rejection of standing in testing lines or whatever. Maybe seemed like the light's going out, right? Well, it's not exactly what we're talking about here, but a little bit related. Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no. Lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for themselves. Again, a key verse there. We have to be born again ourselves. We can't come as somebody's child or grandchild. Nobody can come to the Lord on the basis of us. They've got to do it themselves. So he says here, buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready. Key words, those who were ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to come today? He said, well, come today. Are you ready? We all say, oh, yeah. Well, I pray we are. But it's something to consider. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. When Noah went into the ark, the door was shut, right? That means when the door was shut, you don't go in. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, or assuredly, or truly, truly, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. I'm sure you remember the passage back in chapter 7, 23, 24, the same words, and kind of wondering in a way what that really meant when he said, I don't know you. But here's a good example of that. They didn't have the oil. They were out of oil. They didn't have the connection spiritually anymore, apparently. And he says, I never knew you. And Jesus says, I never knew you. That is really serious thing here, as you know. He answered, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And then here is the final line then in the parable. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So we're to be ready for something we don't know when it's going to happen. I believe that's the rapture of the church. And there should be a tremendous sense of urgency in this parable and in your lives right now to get the gospel out. Stand for the Lord. You don't have much time. The unbeliever doesn't have much time. And we need to be watching and be ready. So I just pray through this conference you would continue to be focusing on the Lord. You would be always asking to be filled with the Spirit, because that's where the power is. That's where the oil is. Being filled to overflowing with the Spirit. And then we need to be in this Word every day. I don't know how much time you're spending in your Word when you're waiting in lines and all irritated with everything that's going on. But we need His Word. If we don't have His Word, we can't stay on target. And three times in this discourse, Jesus warns the people about being deceived. Now, we're in the end times. If you read 2 Timothy 3, you'll see lawlessness abounding. Anybody see any lawlessness around these days? You'll see pestilences there in the Gospel of Luke. See a pestilence? Anybody had any COVID? It's around the world, right? God set us up so beautifully, it seems like to me. We've got a tremendous virus out there that everybody gets and everybody's afraid of it, but it's really very low fatality. Yeah, some die from it. And when you consider 160,000 people a day die on this planet, there's not very many of those die from COVID. A few do. But the real key is the virus is sin. Jesus has paid the price for that, right? And that's 100% fatal. So, a good thing to remember, you go up to a person who's all keyed up and masked up and really filled with all fear, saying, I see your mask. Can you tell me why? And they'll eventually say, I'm scared. And what are you scared of? Well, I'm scared of dying. And you might just share with them. You know, well, the virus you're worried about is, has a fatality rate of, I think it's less than 1%. Say, go up and say 5%, 10%, whatever. But my Savior died for a virus that's 100% fatal. 100% fatal. And if you're cured from that virus, you have no fear of death whatsoever. And you can get right into a good discussion with them, at least for those that are open to it, right? So we want to keep our eyes on Him. Now we have time to pray for a few moments. And so I'll suggest we just gather around in your little table there, kind of, some are big tables, some are little tables, and just conduct the prayers as you're led by the Spirit. And we will spend about half an hour, maybe 35 minutes, praying, and then we'll close with a song. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to pray. And Lord, this is the highlight, really, of our day in a lot of ways. Our days without prayer are worthless, and with prayer are so much more important and so much more fruitful. So help us now, lead us by your Spirit as we pray, and may we pray in one accord, in Jesus' name. So let's pray.
We wait, your coming soon. So we wait, so we wait for with our eyes to the sky. So we wait, your coming soon.
That we can offer, you say, the sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. So May our lives just draw people to you, Lord, if using words when necessary. And may you be honored in each heart and each life of each of your children, Lord. We ask in Jesus. Amen.